In recent years, the young, educated, and affluent have surged back into cities, reversing decades of suburban flight and urban decline. And yet all is not well, Richard Florida argues in his new book, The New Urban Crisis. Florida demonstrates how the same forces that power the growth of the world's superstar cities also generate their vexing challenges: gentrification, unaffordability, segregation, and inequality. Meanwhile, many more cities still stagnant and middle-class neighborhoods everywhere are disappearing. Florida says that our winner-takes-all cities are just one manifestation of a profound crisis in today's urbanized knowledge economy. Richard Florida is university professor and director of cities at the Martin Prosperity Institute at the University of Toronto's Rotman School of Management and distinguished fellow at NYU's Schack Institute of Real Estate. He is also senior editor at The Atlantic. His new book, The New Urban Crisis. Richard Florida, welcome back to the roundtable. Thank you.
It's great to be with you again.
So what brought to your attention, in, I would assume, somewhat glaring detail of this new urban crisis?
Well, you know, I moved to Toronto about a decade ago. And before Trump was elected in a populist backlash in the United States, Toronto elected its own, probably the first modern populist, Rob Ford, the notable for his use of crack, among other things.
Yes.
And I think seeing Rob Ford rise to the mayor of a dense, innovative, knowledge-based, progressive, open-minded city really, really drove home to me that there were these incredible new divides in our society between really the affluent and educated people who were flocking back to the urban core, to neighborhoods adjacent to the city center around transit and subway hubs and so on and so forth, and pushing out less advantaged people, working class people, further and further away, and really developing, you know, two distinct and different societies. So I think it really was that. And I think once that hit me with my great research team, we dove into the data and really, really found these divides to be quite staggering and quite disturbing.
So let us go to the challenges, and the challenges that you believe our cities and suburbs face thanks to this urban shift.
Yeah, you know, I think I grew up in New Jersey. I was born in Newark, and I grew up in New Jersey and witnessed the old urban crisis. And I say in the book, I think witnessing the old urban crisis, the riots in Newark, the factory where my dad worked in as a working-class blue-collar person, the factory door shuttered. My mom worked at the local paper, the Star Ledger, that was now ringed by fences and barbed wire. And, you know, industry, business, commerce, the middle class all moved to the suburbs. And I think as industry and business and technology and people have moved back to the city, we've gotten something quite different. And the way I phrase it in the book, it's if the middle class in the old urban crisis left the city for the suburbs, now what we're seeing is really the evisceration of these once great middle-class neighborhoods that were really the platform for upward economic mobility and the American dream. And the staggering statistic I use in the book is that in 1970, more than two-thirds of Americans lived in middle-class neighborhoods. Now less than 40% of Americans do. And the middle class has declined in more than 200 of roughly 230 metros for which data are collected, metropolitan areas for which data are collected. So this is a pretty staggering shift. And worse yet, the middle class decline, along with inequality, along with rising economic segregation, are worse than our densest, most vibrant, largest, most innovative, and most knowledge-based, most educated cities and metro areas. So I really think this new urban crisis is about really the hollowing out of the middle of our society, the middle class and the middle class neighborhoods that really were the drivers of the great American dream.
I mean, you talk about this in the book, but poverty and economic distress and crime, which we think of as urban city problems, have spread into those suburbs. And this crisis of the suburbs is really a very large dimension of what you're writing about, of the new urban crisis.
I think that, you know, these phrases that were so helpful in my father's era, the city and suburb, are no longer as helpful as they once were. And yes, you are absolutely right. There is now more poverty, more people in concentrated poverty living in suburbs than cities. The people who used to be in poverty in cities have been pushed out into the suburbs. It's the top 10% of income earners who've moved back to our cities, and the bottom 10 have been pushed to the suburbs. And I think, you know, you really saw this in the election, where Trump mobilized these kind of angry voters who felt they were being left behind in the suburbs. And really, that's what swung the election. You know, it was a very close election, obviously, but what swung it was the voters in these very distressed suburbs and exurbs, particularly in the Midwest and Rust Belt states. So, you know, and I think crime has risen, and all the social pathologies we used to think of as urban are now suburban. That's why in the book I say we should really think of our society no longer as divided between city and suburb, but as a patchwork. I call it a patchwork city or a patchwork metropolis. We have these small areas of concentrated advantage in the city center, around subway stops, around great amenities, beautiful waterfronts in cities like L.A. or Miami, or lakefronts and mountaintops, and then much larger spans of concentrated disadvantage in the old urbanized areas and untransformed areas of the city, but also then spreading well out into the suburbs. So I really think the new urban crisis not only spans the center cities, but our urbanized suburbs as well.
In that concept of spreading out, you talk about these places where there's a phenomena where certain places will urbanize, but they stay poor. There is no growth. They just stay in that. They move into an urbanization, but they don't grow as a result of that.
Yeah, and I think we see that less in the advanced countries like the United States or Canada or the advanced countries of Europe. Where we're seeing that, and where it's a very large dimension of this new urban crisis, is in the rapidly emerging centers of the developing world. You know, these great megacities that are growing up in China or India, parts of Latin America, the Middle East, and Africa. And, you know, for most of human history, as a society urbanized, it industrialized. The United States is a perfect example. As the United States urbanized, the middle class grew, standards of living rose, and people got wealthier. We had a middle class, an American dream. But what's happening in these megacities, in the emerging economies, is people are pouring off from the countryside because now we can supply these cities from the world. They don't have to develop their own industries. They don't even have to develop their own agricultural lands. Food can be shipped in from wherever. And because there are so many people streaming in, they can't keep up. So we're getting the development of these giant mega slums. And the statistic I cite in the book, which is probably the most distressing statistic about the urban crisis, 860 million people across the world live in these global mega slums. They don't have running water. They don't have toilets. They don't have electricity. They live in, you know, pre-civilized conditions. That's more than the population of the United States, all of Canada, and all of the European Union combined. So this crisis is not only a crisis of the cities and suburban areas of the advanced countries. It is even a bigger crisis for the places that are most rapidly undergoing urbanization today.
You talk about how one of the few things that you believe Donald Trump gets right is that our urban infrastructure is crumbling. Talk a little bit about housing and infrastructure and the challenges that come with that.
Well, you know, we have to grow differently in America, especially in our large cities and metro areas. We have to become denser. We've reached the limits of sprawl, not everywhere, in small communities can grow outward. But once you get to 5 or 6 million people, the size of Atlanta or Dallas or Houston or Miami or Washington, D.C. or Boston or the San Francisco Bay Area or Toronto, for that matter, you have to grow denser. You have to grow up, not out. You can no longer depend on the car as your primary means of transport. You have to depend on subways and rail systems and buses and even bicycling. People have to live closer to work so they can walk to work. And that's what allows a city to scale, you know, and become a 20 million city like in New York, or, you know, a city not quite that size, but a city like London. You need to have a different growth model, so to speak. So, you know, we haven't built this kind of infrastructure in the United States for the better part of a century. No wonder people are clamoring to live close to the core. No wonder prices are going up. No wonder people are, you know, dying to live near subway stops in big metropolitan areas like New York or Washington, D.C. So yes, we have, and of course, our railroads and bridges and roads on top of that are falling apart. So we need to invest in infrastructure, and we need to build more housing, but not just suburban homes, which we massively subsidize through the mortgage interest tax deduction and other mechanisms. We need to build more affordable rental housing for the people who need it, you know, blue-collar workers, blue-collar service workers who need that housing in our city. So it's a tall order.
And in that, it also, and I think you wonderfully explain this in the book, of why, and that exactly is why cities are so important when it comes to our American living standards.
Yeah, I mean, the main point of the book is that we have this great contradiction at the bottom of American society. And it's the contradiction every one of us is living through today. What generates our economic growth is not just technology, it's not just knowledge, it's not just innovation, it's the clustering of technology and knowledge and innovative and enterprising people and diverse groups of people in urban centers and in metropolitan areas. Now, that doesn't mean they have to be as densely packed as lower Manhattan, but it could be like the Silicon Valley, the suburbs of San Francisco, or the great innovative areas outside Austin, Texas, or the North Carolina Research Triangle, or Nashville for that matter. But you need a degree of density and clustering. The problem is, because we want to cluster technology and innovation and knowledge and all sorts of people want to live in these superstar cities and tech hubs, that drives land prices up. So it divides us. You know, it the same clustering force, the same clustering of talent and innovation that generates economic growth divides us. And as it divides us, it creates this political backlash, which divides us even further and really threatens our ability to invest in our economy, paralyzes us, threatens our ability to invest in our economy, to make our cities work, to develop the infrastructure and housing we need, and really gets us, you know, kind of keeps us treading water, if you will, or keeps us from doing the things we need to do to reestablish growth, reignite productivity, and raise our living standards and build a new middle class.
So let us end here, which is touching on that and something that you've touched on throughout our conversation. And that is, you say that you can't understand Donald Trump and the backlash, the populist backlash, if you don't understand the new urban crisis. Where are we, do you believe, in that understanding?
Well, we're two countries, right? We're an urban country of more highly educated people, knowledge workers who live in cities and metropolitan areas. That's about half of us. And then we're a red country who lives in suburbs and ex-urban areas and rural areas, areas that are spread apart this country, who are angry. And it's not just an economic divide. And this is what's so hard for people to understand. It's a cultural divide. On the one side, you have people who want more diversity and more tolerance and live and let live. And other people, on the other side, the more conservative side, want to reinstate more family values and traditional values. And in the book, I say we're not going to win by slamming each other over the head anymore. There is no winner. The Obama voter or the Clinton voter, the Trump voter or the Pence voter, there is no winner. We're all losers. So what I say in the book is we have to respect that we're different. And instead of projecting our hopes and dreams on this king-like imperial presidency, which we know no longer works, we've seen it. It no longer works. It is too much power is concentrated in one person, in one branch of government. Let's give people the power. Let's devolve power. Let's take back the power to our cities, our towns, our suburbs, and let people decide how they want to live, vote with their feet, and realize that we have to respect each other's choices. If I want to live with transit and more knowledge-based institutions and denser with more diversity, that's my choice. If someone else wants to live a more suburban or rural way of life, depend on their car, and live in a more homogeneous community, that's their choice. And we know that when cities and communities are empowered, they can do what's best for themselves, and they compete. They compete for talent, they compete for brains, they compete for investment, and out of that competition, we'll get a better society. So I think the real key is really to move away from this overly centralized federal government, this overly and dysfunctionally so overpowered and overprivileged executive branch and presidency, and put power in the hands of people in their local towns and communities and burgs, and let them build the kind of towns that they want to live in for themselves and their families.
The full title of the new book is The New Urban Crisis: How Our Cities Are Increasing Inequality, Deepening Segregation, and Failing the Middle Class, and What We Can Do About It. The book is published by Basic Books. Richard Florida, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
Oh, thanks for having me back.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book, The New Urban Crisis by Richard Florida. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.